Three, two, one. What's up and welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, ATs in the Surgical Setting. This week, our guest is Leah Palmer. I'm your fill-in host for the week, Sean Reedy. Join our conversation on sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, the SMB, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/surgical setting. All right, so Leah.
Yes.
Leah and I work here at Athletic Orthopedic and Knee here in Houston, right off of I-10. Tell me your athletic training story and tell me about yourself.
Well, my name is Leah. I went to undergrad at University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida, and really I became interested in athletic training essentially because I didn't really know what I wanted to do, but I like sports and I like to be outside, and I was not going to play sports in college. So I essentially went through the course book and found athletic training and remembered the athletic trainers I had in high school and really thought they had an interesting job that seemed right up my alley. So that's what I did and have never looked back. And then I did an internship in Davidson College in North Carolina for a semester and then continued there to, they hired me on for the following semester to work. And then I went to grad school at Georgia State in Atlanta and did my assistantship at Emory. Worked with many sports there, but mostly volleyball, softball, track and field, swimming and diving were my main ones at Emory. And then from there, after I graduated, took a position at the Andrews Institute in Gulf Breeze, Florida, which at the time had not been built yet, but they were collecting physicians, I guess, and then worked at a high school there and in their physical therapy clinic. And then kind of got close to some of the physicians and would follow them in clinic and observe in surgeries. And worked at this Gulf Breeze High School for 2.5 years, and as well as doing some other outreach type things.
So coming out of Emory and then going back down to Florida, mm-hmm. getting a lot of experience there in the collegiate and in the high school setting, you kind of moved out of that setting somewhat. You said you followed the doctors a little bit. How exactly did you do that? Because here, so I guess also describe, but I first here describe what you do here at AOK and what your positions, just very much like all athletic trainers, you have multiple hats that you wear. Explain what your position is here.
Here, I function as an athletic trainer practicing in a physician's clinic, and I assist seeing patients, whether it's doing evaluations, casting, splinting, wound care, bracing, and then I also assist in surgery. I am also the outreach coordinator for some of our local high schools and other events that we cover. I help organize our PRN athletic trainers that go and cover those practices and games and events as well. And I am also the clinical manager for Athletic Orthopedic and Knee Center for the physicians while they're in clinic, making sure everything runs smoothly and flows and our medical assistants are taken care of and have the things they need for the physicians to be successful in clinic and in surgery.
So I guess that gets me back to my other question in how did you get into a clinical manager setting and how did you actually become a surgical setting or a surgical assist?
That really started when I was in Gulf Breeze at the Andrews Institute, and there was an athletic trainer that was working with one of the non-surgical sports medicine physicians, and she was leaving, so they kind of were priming me to come in and take her position. They didn't tell me really, I didn't know too much was going on, but at the time I was still working at the high school as well. And during the week and during the mornings, I would go and help in the clinic. And when she left and they were offering positions, I was not ready at that time to leave the field. And I just loved the school I worked in, and I just wasn't prepared yet to leave that to go to the clinical setting. Then the following year, they brought in a new orthopedic surgeon, and they wanted an athletic trainer for him. And they recommended I apply for that position. And I kind of thought, you know, here's the second time that this opportunity has come up for me, and to possibly assist in surgery. And I kind of felt like I couldn't give that up. And at the time, athletic trainers, although it was, there was another athletic trainer assisting in surgery, it kind of, I mean, this was 10 years ago, was newer, I guess you could say. And there are fellowship programs around at Vail and at Emory, but not that many in Florida, for sure. So I kind of felt like it was an opportunity I didn't want to miss. And so that's how I started working with the physician at the Andrews Institute, and I became his practice coordinator.
So when you moved into that type of setting, what was the differences there? Obviously getting into surgical, being in surgery, sitting in surgery. What do you do in surgery? And then you said seeing patients, doing casting, doing stuff in clinic. What was your day-to-day there? And I guess that builds into, what is your day-to-day now? What you do now, has that changed from then when you first started? And kind of explain some of that stuff.
My day-to-day then was, it's similar, but not at the same time, I guess. As an athletic trainer in the clinical setting, kind of what the physician is looking for is for you to do an initial evaluation on the patient so you can give them a good idea as to what you think their injury or where their pain is coming from. So, and then that way the physician can hone in on one specific set of tests or talk about one thing instead of having to do full body assessment, essentially. And a lot of it, I think, too, is to help save time so you can get the patient what they need, but be able to see patients in an organized, timely manner as well. But just to have help so they can go in and see what they need to do, get the answers, run the tests, do whatever testing they need to do for the patient, and get them out and scheduled for those things. So seeing the patients, and then it's answering phone calls, lots of paperwork, helping to do notes, scheduling surgeries, and assisting in surgery. And
so how does that assisting in surgery go? That's probably something a lot different for most athletic trainers. Most athletic trainers, I know going through undergrad, we obviously had to set through a surgery, go through X number of surgeries. Now, since work, as when I was a preceptor there for U of H, they're required to go to X number of surgeries. How do you now assist in a surgery? How is that different outside of probably what most athletic trainers are accustomed to?
Every state is different too. So Florida is different because if you are working, for example, with a private surgeon, and you have whatever license and criteria that will meet with the surgery centers or hospitals you're going to, you can go in with that surgeon and they teach you. They train you for closing, there's not much, as long as you are complete the credentialing for that facility, you can assist in surgery with the physician's at the physician's request, and then they train you. And I've had there are, of course, like I said, there's fellowship programs that are out there in Vail and in at Emory and some others that are around. And I actually applied for the Vail one and didn't make it, but the physician I work for at Andrews trained me for everything, trained me how to close, how to retract, how to control bleeding, how to position patients, how to dress surgical wounds. And a lot of that really has stayed the same through the 10 years that I've been doing this, almost 10 years. And that you kind of just, but it's a lot, it's very similar. Even though you have a different physician, the surgery and the technique and the closing is very similar. And so you kind of just evolve and you understand what's going to happen and you can anticipate a lot more. And as you continue in surgery and assisting, a lot of anticipation is very important for the physician, because that's what helps them, is not having to wait for things, not having to have bleeding where someone's, if it's not being taken care of, you can help them by allowing them to see better if you're trying to anticipate things so they can get to the next step for the surgery.
That makes a lot of sense. And the one thing there is that, as seeing that coming out of the high school, coming out of the college setting, where you then had saw these athletes, you know, a couple days post-surgical or something like that, it can be easy for you to move into that position now where you can maybe assist and help that athlete or help that doctor figure something out possibly that is better for them, because you know as well as I do, you've seen some of the people that will come out and have the loads of bandaging on that isn't really conducive to what they're going to be doing or what they're moving, especially when we as athletic trainers are potentially cleaning or potentially working on them the following day or trying to keep their wounds clean. How did that kind of stuff go into what you learned and what you started to do there in that clinic setting?
It's a lot. I think one of the big reasons why orthopedic surgeons like having athletic trainers is because we have such a strong background in sports medicine, and situations like that where we have seen those athletes on the other side as they're returning to play and returning to activity, and we've seen all of those. We've removed dressing, we've changed dressing, we've cleaned wounds, we've done all those things, because after that athlete or whomever it is goes to see the doctor, they have to have follow-up care. It's not something that is just a one and done deal. They need follow-up care each day, and being able to go into an office and being able to just do that and not needing as much of the training as say another medical provider that comes in, or a medical assistant or something like that, is that you already know. And I think that is helps the physician to have confidence in you that you're going to take care of their patients the way that they would want their patients to be taken care of.
One of the things you said on that, kind of going back to what you said your typical day is inside of clinic, is doing that evaluation, saying, hey, they don't have to do that total body eval. They can just go to the knee if there's a knee injury, the elbow if there's an elbow injury. You've done 5 or 6 special tests potentially, I take it, and can give them positives that you have found. These are 2 or 3 things that you can do, and you can go in there and get a good idea from that, correct?
Yes, correct. So I will actually go in and do maybe 2 or 3 on each one. And the physician's going to do them again anyway, but it just gives them a good idea as to that they don't then have to go and do 10 different tests. If you go in and do an empty can and it was positive, or drop arm and it's positive, they can go in and do those 2 also, and then maybe a couple of others to see, but they're not going to have to go through every shoulder test there is to discover where the problem is. Same thing with knees. If you have a torn ACL, and you can do a lot, the athletic trainer goes in and does a Lockman exam, or anterior drawer, or pivot shift, either one, any of those, and comes out and say, you know, compared to the other side, I think this is positive. Well, that just means that when they go in, they're going to pay attention to that, those exams in particular, to help them make their diagnosis.
It's almost like an easy transition too, because it's kind of what we do in the high school setting and in the college setting. It's you just maybe have to text your doc and say, hey, I'm sending somebody to you, and then they come to you and you've already been seen.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing that we do on the field that we do in the clinic, and which is why they like us, because we can go in and we know how to do it. There's no questions. There's not, well, you've had rotation in general surgery or in OBGYN, but you don't have any experience in ortho. You come in knowing how to do all these things, and that's why they like us, because we have such a strong knowledge of special tests for orthopedic injuries.
So now, is something that you might do in your day-to-day when you do have an injury, when you do have somebody that comes in? I know we've worked together with some of your patients. You've sent them over to me. I've seen them here in clinic. But is that something that you sometimes may do, where doc might say, hey, you need to do 2 or 3 exercises. Leah's going to come in and show you 2 or 3 exercises. Or is that something that where you just typically refer out to PT for that type of stuff?
No, we do lots of all the physicians I've worked with also like to give out exercises, because maybe not everybody needs to go to physical therapy and have to and be there and not everybody needs that. Not everybody can do that. So we do have groups of exercises that we would give out for the shoulder or the knee or the elbow or back or that's another thing I do, is show them the exercises to make sure they're doing them correctly, that their form is correct, which is also something the physicians like to have. And then it's not something that they have to be concerned about. They know that their patient is going to be doing these exercises the proper way to help them as much as they can. I do that quite frequently, actually, is print out exercises and give them to the patients to do at home.
So then with that, will you then see patients in clinic? Let's say your doc that you're working with is out or is in surgery or possibly doing something. I know we've kind of talked about some of that stuff, where you're doing paperwork here or you're doing setting up for surgeries if they're at another facility possibly doing surgery. Will you see patients on your own as well, or as an extension?
I will see post-op patients as an extension. As an athletic trainer in the clinical setting, you are not allowed to see your own patient load. However, if there is a post-op patient that needs their dressing changed or their sutures removed, we can do that under an extension of the physician or another physician that's in the building or in the office. But I don't see my own patient load. I will, if patients come in and they need something, if something needs to be adjusted or their cast is wet, or those things we take care of just as anyone would in any clinic. But I don't have a schedule to see my own patient load. Just the occasional post-operative patient if the physician is out of town and they need their dressing changed.
I understand. So I guess walk me through your week. How does your, because you've talked about the things that you do, how does your days where obviously physicians are kind of here, there, everywhere, morning surgery, afternoons, clinic, is that, that's kind of what you do then, correct?
Yes. They're all kind of different as to what they like to do. Some physicians like to have surgeries in the morning and see patients in the afternoons. Some physicians will see patients in the mornings and do surgeries in the afternoons. Some physicians will have 2 surgery days a week. The other days they will see patients, or they'll do 2 days of surgery, 2 days of clinic. Other days they, and then they'll have like a 1 day of an administration day. It depends on the physician. I currently have 1 day of that's just four surgeries, and then we see patients on the other days. Now, sometimes we do surgeries on those other days as well. It just depends on what we have. We've currently been doing more total joints, and we do those at the hospitals, and the days they give us are Mondays. So now we've been doing surgery Mondays, Tuesdays, and then on Wednesday and Thursday we were in clinic. Friday we see some patients. Usually we try and have a catch-up day. Catch-up days are good. Just a lot to catch up on.
Catch-up days are good, I think, in any athletic training setting. So then that also works into your clinic or as a outreach coordinator. So probably one of those things that everybody understands more of the outreach, but kind of explain that a little bit more in what you do with regard to that. Again, back to the 12 different hats that we all wear for what our job might be.
So we have two schools in particular that we provide an athletic trainer for. It's a part-time job, essentially. But they're there every day. They cover whatever sports they're in charge of and for practices and games. So I've helped to make sure that there's an athletic trainer for those positions available. And we're currently looking for one of the schools that we cover. But we also have other secondary schools that are private schools that want athletic trainers for their events as well. So I have a group of PRN athletic trainers, a pool, if you will, and I send out an email to them for events that are coming up for these other schools, and they have football, basketball, soccer, lacrosse, everything. I have a PRN athletic trainer that whomever gets there first and wants to do it, they're the ones that go out and cover. And if there's injuries or things that occur that are more serious, they respond to me and let me know so that I can then make sure the athletic director knows that someone had a concussion or had to go to the emergency room or something that was a little bit more serious than just a cut or a bruise or a shoulder.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of coverage, a lot of different things that you've got going on. How has what you do now, because it's a little different dynamic than your typical traditional setting. You're definitely in one of those progressive settings. How has that taken away from your athletic training skill? I do know that you also cover stuff. You cover things additionally that the clinic here works. So you are sometimes in that outreach or in that setting there. But how do you feel like that has changed your dynamic as an athletic trainer?
The reason I do a lot of the outreach volunteer myself is because I don't want to lose a lot of that ability. I want to make sure that I am still doing those things and doing and practicing those so I don't forget. But I have. I mean, I have. I'm definitely not as up to date on a lot of the newer techniques and things that have come out because I'm just doing other things, so I don't have the opportunity to educate myself as much as say an athletic trainer that's in the in a field setting would quite as much. But I try. I mean, fortunately I work in a clinic where there are other athletic trainers like you, Sean, that can help me with new techniques and things that come about. But it's definitely put me, I think, behind the curve a little bit for new things that are evolving with athletic training in the field setting.
But in the same sense, you have to stay up on the surgical side. You have to stay up on the clinical side.
There are other things now that I'm trying that I'm trying to do for the surgical setting side specifically, so that I can be, I guess, kind of increase the level of care that I'm giving in the clinical setting than I was when I started. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to, as an athletic trainer, it's not a very easy thing to do, because it's as much as there are many cities that do have athletic trainers, it's still, hospitals are hard walls to get through. And so it's not, you're really trying to break down a lot of.
What are some of those negatives that you've run into with getting into your setting that you have? And what are some of the stuff going on in that setting? Because I know we were just talking about, you went to NATA since it was here in Houston. You heard a couple people talking about a couple talks about surgical settings. What are those things that, I guess, question one, what do you run into that you hear from, we don't want you in our setting, or we don't want this? And what are the new things coming in those that are working in the surgical setting or working in that clinic setting?
A lot of it is that no matter how hard we try, a lot of people just don't understand what an athletic trainer is and kind of what the what they are capable of doing. And when you go into a surgical setting, and a lot of the OR staff they all come from the same place. They're either surgical techs or they're nurses. And that's where they come from. And you come in as an athletic trainer, and it's not always easy for them to understand how it is that you got into the position you're in. A lot of people still in the OR still don't understand what an athletic trainer is. They still get it confused with being a personal trainer. I do a lot of explaining as to what an athletic trainer, how they function. In the clinical setting and in the field setting, because a lot of people just still don't know, especially if they don't have kids that aren't in high school. Now, there are staff there that have kids that are in high school and they play sports, they know what an athletic trainer is, because Texas has an athletic trainer at every school. So they understand and they are a little bit more open, but not everybody does. And that's definitely a difficult thing to do, and it's even more so with the administration, who really really don't know. And it's become, some hospitals are easier and they understand, some are not. And it doesn't matter what you have, it doesn't matter how much experience you have, it doesn't matter where you came from, if you don't have certain credentials or acronyms, you're not going to get in. And so that's kind of what I'm fighting right now, is getting into the hospital. And I was fortunate enough to find a way, but it is certainly not the short end. It's going to take a while.
So is that taking certifications for yourself? Is that
It is taking certifications and licensures that really don't have that much to do with athletic training per se, but as an athletic trainer can help us in the clinical setting working with orthopedic surgeons or any surgeon, and being able to complete that certification will, I think really, I don't know how many athletic trainers have, but it will I think help us to to allow us to
progress
in the clinical setting, in the surgical setting, where office administrators will say, oh, well, if we can do this, then okay, if you're allowed this certification, then we need to do that. Or even physicians themselves, with being able to reimburse and
kind of claim for through insurance and stuff like that for the services that you're actually providing.
Right.
So, what is that certification?
It's called the it's a licensed surgical first assist, and there are many schools available that do it. Some are accredited, some are not, just like athletic training schools. But there are a couple that are accredited, and they go for certain different times. The one I'm in is a year long. There's courses that you take, you do a lab that you go for a week and do a lab, and you have to collect 140 cases of surgeries that you are physically first assisting in. And they have to be in multiple disciplines, not just orthopedics. Mm-hmm. So, which is kind of difficult as an athletic trainer, because that's what you're doing is orthopedics. So trying to get in to get some of these other cases for general and some of the other specialties is not an easy feat when what you do is orthopedics. But in the long run, once I pass this certificate, there's a certification exam that you pass. You are licensed, and you have to be licensed in every state or whatever state you want to practice in. Once that goes through, then you can be reimbursed in surgery as if you were a PA or another physician that's coming in to assist. And reimbursement rate is the same.
Wow.
And it's been a little bit of a fight to get in, because the schools also don't really recognize athletic trainers as someone that is
kind of qualified
to do the program. Right. But I know that they were concerned about what I would be able to accomplish and if I would succeed. So far, fortunately, I have. But it's because of the experience I have is really what helped me out to get in. And I'm hoping that with one athletic trainer, then you have another athletic trainer that it gets in. And then with this, and I'm sure there's other athletic trainers that have gone through the process. I don't think at the school that I'm in there has been any before. Not that I've been aware of. So, but hopefully that's kind of what I'm working on now, which has taken me away from some of the other athletic training aspects of education that I've not quite been able to get to.
So what's that direction that those in the clinic and those in the surgical setting, what's the direction we're going with that? What in that meeting that kind of at there in ATA, What are we doing in that direction? How do we improve as providers? How do we improve getting... You're obviously doing a great job of putting athletic training out there. This is what we are. This is who we are when you're in those settings. But how do we... I guess, what directions do we need to go? How do we need to better that?
I think by just being in that setting more, and even if you are working with a surgeon and you cannot scrub in, you cannot assist in surgery, being at the hospital with that physician, helping them with preoperative care with the patient, whether it's making sure everything is signed, and this is what actually was discussed at the seminar I was in, is the amount of time that a physician spends with a patient in surgery that essentially is unpaid time, which is a lot. And being an athletic trainer and being in that setting, even though if you can't scrub in, being able to help with that, then that means the nurses see you, the managers of the OR see you. Just being seen with your name tag that says athletic trainer, and they ask you, oh, well, what do you do? Just get knowledge about us being around and being with the physician, I think, is the most important thing. And if you're working in a clinical setting and you want to assist in surgery or you want to go that direction, then talking to whomever physician you know the most about and just being in the OR room, observing surgeries. Once you get in there and you're in there a lot, and the nurses and the circulators and the scrub techs know who you are, they're going to let you help them. You will then know, oh, I'll hold the door for this part. They're doing those things is what is going to help us branch out into the surgical setting, I think, a little bit more.
So I guess that's kind of to answer the question, how do you recommend getting into this? So if you're a new graduate, or if you're somebody that's possibly working in a high school, working in a college, something that's non-clinical, how do you recommend them going and getting into your setting?
I think personally the best way is to start, if you're in that setting and you have no access to any clinics or anything except for maybe your team physician, is asking your team physician if you can either observe in surgery or really just observe in clinic and go around with them in clinic. If you're whatever time you have available that you can do that, to go around with them, go into rooms with them, do evaluations. As soon as you can make a relationship with that physician is when you will be able to kind of get in there a little bit more, put some roots in and be able to do more. And you do need to make a relationship with a physician and to help, but there's a lot of clinics. If you go on the career website at NATA, there's a lot of clinics that are looking for athletic trainers. They are not necessarily for surgical purposes, but just to help with evaluations, help with DME, doing some of those things. And you don't have to have a lot of experience in it. You don't have to have any experience for some of them. But a lot of orthopedic facilities are looking for athletic trainers to help with showing them exercises, doing things like that. And if you can get in there and start with that, then, I mean, and you want to then start with observing surgeries, and then maybe they let you scrub in, and maybe it's, but getting into a clinic, getting to know a physician is the best, is really, I think, the most important way.
It's kind of one of those, like we used to do, putting your time in, trying to set
a lot of it
up,
is putting your time in. Yes.
Okay.
It's not going to happen overnight. You have to put your time in for it. You have to really want it. And then once you kind of make a relationship with one of those physicians, then you can start to say, well, is it okay if I do this? Or have you thought about this? Or, you know, would you ever think about hiring an athletic trainer to help you in clinic? And when you build a relationship with a physician, you can ask them those questions. When they know what you do, when they know that you are competent at with your job, I mean, as an athletic trainer, they're going to listen to you.
It's kind of one of those things that you get to a point that there's learning and there's dynamics to every profession or every avenue that anybody goes, whether that be the high school setting, whether that be a collegiate setting, whether that be clinical. Moving from the college setting, I've noticed that, and you know, I've had to learn a lot of different things. You've had to learn how to see a patient for a certain amount of time, for X amount of time, how to get referrals, hey, I need to clear something, and I need to go through a physician to do that. So it's kind of just like everybody that's picked things up as they've stepped into their setting that they might be in, you learn things. With this being somewhat of a upcoming area, it's one of those that we just need to get more people out there learning that aspect of it and learning what is needed in those settings, if that is a setting that they're interested in.
It is definitely new, and every physician is going to be different. There are some physicians that came from fellowship programs where they had athletic trainers, which the first physician I worked with did not. He came from the Navy, I think. So he really didn't know that much about athletic trainers. And the physician I work with now did a fellowship in Vail at the Stedman Clinic, and he wanted an athletic trainer. And a lot of it is just some of these physicians that are either coming out of fellowship programs or they had athletic trainers there, and they want that type of clinic. And them going into a clinic where maybe the other physicians haven't, but that physician says, hey, you know, this is what we did. It really worked. This is why we did it. I'd like to maybe try and start this here. So you get one athletic trainer in. And then those other physicians say, oh, I see how that's working. Then they bring more athletic trainers in. And it's, but they can too at the same time. You know, you can do those things and also still do outreach. Your day essentially ends at 5 o'clock, maybe a little bit longer. You can still cover games. You can still do all those things if you want to. I want to. I do miss being on the field. But that's why I do I volunteer for those outreach events as well, because I like doing it. That kind of doesn't go away.
It keeps your foot in that door as well. Yeah. And it gets you outside, like you said. Y'all want to be outside. I don't want to be stuck just in one area. So you mentioned some fellowships that there are. What were those fellowships again that do the surgical and do the clinical sides of things? Do you know?
The Stedman Clinic in Vail, Colorado has a fellowship program, and you apply for it like you would anything else. And when I did it, they took 11 people up or so to interview, and they chose 4 out of the 11. Emory has very similar program, Emory in Atlanta, Emory University has a similar program, and at their sport, it's not with the school, it's through it's a fellowship program through Emory Sports Medicine Institute, which is a clinic, private clinic, but they do the same thing, and you go in and you work with the physicians, you help in surgery. You are required through those programs to get an OTC, which is an orthopedic technical certification. There are some insurances that will reimburse the athletic trainer for being assisting in surgery with those. Most don't, some do, but they require you to get that certification. And then their Andrews Institute also has one as well. Now, I don't know that one is an accredited program. I know that they have one. And it started a couple years before I left. And they had one, and then they've grown a little bit and have had a couple. I'm not really sure what they're doing now with it. But there are fellowship programs that are out there. I didn't go to a fellowship program, and I'm doing what I'm doing now. Hopefully no one yells at me later, but I don't necessarily think the fellowship program I don't think you have to do it. I think if you are in the right setting and you work hard, I think that you don't have to have that fellowship program to get into something else. There are not a lot of facilities around that are looking for athletic trainers that can assist in surgery. There just aren't.
It's something you got to build into.
You have to build it
into. Kind of help create yourself.
I've been very, very lucky, and I've been at the right place at the right time. And those opportunities do not come up a lot. And the ones that do, they take athletic trainers that they know. Mm-hmm. They've been working with someone for a while, and they say, "Oh, we want someone to help, and we want this person to come to surgery with us." Mm-hmm. They're going to take someone. They're going to take someone they know, not just someone that's kind of off the street.
Wanting to get into the position, understandable.
But there are fellowship programs, and those are good. And I'm not saying they're not good to have, because they are. They do give you some experience. But it's not something you have to do to get into a clinical setting.
Understandable. So I guess that's the direction that we're kind of going. We're getting into more of the fellowship now, with going to that entry level master's and starting to develop fellowships of direction of kind of what we want to do. Or you can always set in those positions and you know, work your way up, kind of like you did, kind of like I've done in some of the settings that I've been in. But it's just one of those things that you need to continue to work at it. And the biggest thing that I see there is continue to educate people, be that even in the hospital settings, on what our athletic trainers are and what we are doing and why we are beneficial for that physician and for that, and as that person, or as that clinic manager, because we understand a lot of that dynamic. So, I guess anything else you've got about what you do? Words of wisdom.
I think really just being open to anything that that comes available, and putting yourself out there. If that's really what you want, putting yourself out there, letting people know, letting physicians know, letting the staff know that you're available to them, is important and helpful. Once you do get into that surgical setting, helping. Don't let somebody else clean the room. You help clean the room. Help do the dirty work, because that's really going to, you're going to see those people multiple times, and you have to be able to work with them. And you're not there a lot, and because you're working with directly with the physician, you may get a lot more than what they get, and they may not like that. So, but if you're going to help do the dirty work, then they're going to appreciate that, and they're going to respect you, because you don't just leave when the patient, when the patient wakes up. You stay in the room, you help move the patient, you help clean things, you help in the clinical setting, you help clean the rooms, you help prepare for the next day, you help, whatever it is, you offer your help to them. You're there to support everybody else just as much as the physician. And I think if you can do those things, that will really help you to grow and be able to do some more of the things that you want to do.
It's kind of one of those things, like we've talked about before, not being that person standing on the wall, that you see the student that rolls in and wants to stand on the wall, hold the wall up, and you know right off the bat, that's probably not the student that's going to succeed, because they don't want to get out there, they don't want to push themselves, they don't want to offer up assistance, be that just something simple. But then there's also the reverse of that, and doing too much and getting yourself in trouble there. But it's kind of one of those where you need to continue, even if you're potentially 10 years into being an athletic trainer, you need to continue to be stepping up to those different things and trying to help and adding that, because that's how you're going to fill into these positions and be able to step into stuff like that, as well as gain the respect of those that are like, who is this athletic trainer and why are they here? Mm-hmm. And you're now stepping into my career field, and I'm going to be upset because this is one person that's not me, that's not here. So that's very understandable. So I guess, how would somebody, if somebody has any questions for you, what would be the best way to get a hold of you, that they can maybe chat with you and ask some questions and whatnot?
I would say probably my email, and then if we need to talk more, then we can always do the phone. But my email is lpalmer, P-A-L-M-E-R, @aokc.net, and I'd be happy to answer any questions or talk more in detail about it. I love doing it, and I love talking about it. So anything I can do to help and kind of get some more knowledge out there, I'm happy to do it.
Cool. Well, this has been the Sports Medicine Broadcast. Check us out, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/surgical setting. Just want to kind of thank Dr. Geyer for letting me steal you away from him for over lunch, and here at AOKC for letting us kind of chat and get some stuff done and get to know each other. So this is Sean Reedy, and I'm out.